Well, now, perhaps we better turn to the theatre design. We're in the process of photographing every sheet.
Oh, how lovely.
But we have only gone a little way so far. It's going to take months to do. So, but perhaps if I ask you about the individual productions, that might recall things to you. We're buying them, as you know, in a series of groups from you. And in the first group, there was a sequence of designs for Journey to the Moon.
Yes, that's the one I've got here, yes. Ah, well, let me see. I can't remember the dates for these.
No.
Mm-hmm. But they would be the 1950, late 50s and 60s, I think.
It was a ballet.
50s. Now, look, I went to China in 56.
Uh-huh.
And when I came back, I did Journey to the Moon. Uh-huh. So that would be 56 or 57. That sort of time, I think. I had done quite a lot of theatre before I went to China. But the Journey to the Moon was Borovansky's company.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Greenwas was the principal male dancer.
Mm-hmm.
A Dutchman, really, but had been brought up in Bruges, in Belgium, you know, and lived most of his adult life in Paris. So one never thought of him really as a Dutchman, you know. and he also was a very good choreographer.
He did the choreography for us.
Now, he did Romeo and Juliet, which, Bill...
Constable?
Yes, Bill Constable did that.
Uh-huh.
And I did The Three Devils.
Oh, yes.
Yes, uh-huh. Which was his next ballet, and then I did Journey into the Moon for him. All these were full-length ballets.
Oh, were they?
All night, you know.
Yes.
Four or five acts.
I see.
So one did these sets and the ground plans and the lighting plans.
Mm.
These things are done separately these days. You know, they have a special lighting expert. But then it was up to the designer to give a plan for lighting, and you had many lighting rehearsals because then we didn't know that much technically about how to write down a lighting script, you know. So you tried it out. But mainly, really, it was the electrician who was most helpful in these. Really, what I would give him or any designer at that time would be only suggestions. And, of course, the director would do this too. Then you painted you designed the costumes, the sets, costumes, and the lighting, and did the ground floor planning. And then you painted the set.
I see.
Uh-huh.
You did it yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And this was an enormous job. They were 42 feet long.
Mm-hmm. Where was it produced?
The old Empire, I think it was called, down at the railway. Wasn't it the Empire?
Her Majesty's.
Yeah, Her Majesty's, yes. It was, I think, in the Empire. The biggest theatre we had then. They were 42 feet long, every backcloth, and 24 feet high. And when you have five acts, that's a lot of canvas you cover. But it's not only that. You do the wings, which there might be anything from 3 to 6 on either side, so that's 12. So that's really more than the backcloth. And, of course, the sky pieces, which would always be 6 of those in a theatre of that length, depth. So there was a lot of painting to do. And one did it on the top of the Theatre Royal. It had the best, scene painter's studio, But you couldn't work on Wednesdays because there was a matinee and they'd hear the flop, flop, flop of the brush, you know. and you couldn't work at night, you see, because of the same thing. When you were very late, you stayed up and worked in the early morning, you know, to get it finished.
And you did it all yourself? You had no assistant?
Yes, I had what we used to call splodges. Young students interested in the theatre and, you know, been through the tech. And they would mix the paint for me. It's all very smelly because you mix it with rabbit glue, you know.
Yes.
And you have very big buckets like that, or the old Poe, which you can't buy now, you know. That was a very handy one to hold, you know, and it took the big brush. And the canvas was hung behind the stage at the Theatre Royal on a roller and a winch, and you wound it up. We had continual fights because these boys were always extremely tall and thin. And I being short, I was faster than they were. And I always wanted it up a bit further. That put it up beyond where they wanted it, you know, or needed it. It was extremely hot up there because it had a tin roof. And you used to nearly die. And then there was another paint studio, and that was over at the old Tivoli, which doesn't exist anymore either. Well, now that was a more spacious and more comfortable one, but not as much gear as winches and things like that, and not as good a light.
What was Journey to the Moon about? A fantasy, I think.
Oh, well, you know, it was just about the time when, you know, going to the moon got going, the modern going to the moon. Yes. Well, this was a beautiful ballet and I think one of my most ingenious bits of designing. Everybody loved the look of it, but they thought they were going to see a modern Journey to the Moon.
Oh, I see.
Where it was the 17th century. A scientist who, you know, was working out how he would get to the moon. Yeah. And so it was entire fantasy. Very beautiful.
It wasn't by any chance based on a book by Cyrano de Bergerac, who wrote some sort of science fantasy about a visit to the moon?
Well, it might have been. I don't remember that. I think he might have based it on that, as you said, and then developed the story himself, because he nearly always wrote his own story. And it was a great success, but it didn't. People, you know, visually and in every sense, musically, the dancing was beautiful, the choreography was beautiful. It just wasn't a success. And, of course, just I think, on the first night or the night before, Borovensky died. That depressed everybody, too.
What year was that?
I would have to look it up.
I see.
Yes.
That's what we can check.
Yes.
But it'd be in the 50s,
but that'd be, I think it'd be more near 60. I think 60.
Who wrote the music, by the way? What music did they use?
Various.
Various sorts.
Yes, and I'd have to look it up in my notes, which I couldn't find for this morning. it really was a beautiful ballet. But it was really the only one that didn't run for any length of time, yes.